Goff, we had gotten to the point where your family came back to Long Beach from the camp in Arizona, and your dad was there with you, and you mentioned that he got back into fishing.
Fishing.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about how he got back into fishing?
Well, his previous two, the two men that owned the boat with him previously, they wanted to get back into fishing too, so he went in again, and they bought another boat. And but unfortunately, he must have been only 55 at the time. He was in this bad boat accident where his finger got caught in a winch. You know, there's a thing going, and they couldn't stop the machinery in time. So then the boat was way out in, I don't know what water, Mexican water. Mm-hmm. They had to fly him a helicopter. Too bad the weather was so bad that it was just, the boat was just, you know, going like this. But they had to fly a helicopter into the boat to lift my father, to take him to a hospital. In, I think the closest was San Francisco, mm-hmm. and it was a maritime hospital. And he spent some time there, and unfortunately we couldn't go to visit him. But they transferred him to a seaside hospital in Long Beach. And he stayed there for a while, but he was pretty badly injured because the twisting of the arm and everything, he never regained use of that arm.
Right.
Just through a finger, but you know, and it kind of damaged his heart. And so he lived about a year after that, but, you know, always in bed and always with a useless arm.
Right.
And he died of a heart attack at home. So he died at 56. I think he was only 56 years old.
How old were you at the time?
I was already married, and I had my one son, the oldest son. So I must have been, hard to believe, gee, time sure goes on. Paul was only 2 years old. How old was I? Oh my gosh. 30? About 30. Mm-hmm.
So we jumped some years there. How old were you when you got out of the camp?
3 years after high school, 18,
19, 20, 21. What did you do when you came back to Long Beach?
Unfortunately, there was nothing for us to do except work in a house as a house girl or maid, whatever. And I worked in a beautiful home in Country Club Drive in Long Beach. I got a job just, you know, helping with the cooking and odd jobs that I had to do there, but I came home every night to my own house. I never slept over there.
Mm-hmm. How long did you do that for?
Just for a little while, until I heard that they were looking for interpreters at the, they called that the welfare office, because the Japanese were all needing help, and they wanted someone to translate, to go from, you know, the different camps. There was trailer park camp in Long Beach where all the people were, you know, they had no place to go, so they set up these trailers and some are living there, and those of us who had brothers in the army, we were able to get the Cabrillo homes. So there were quite a few of these places that the Japanese were living in temporarily, and they needed interpreters, and they were asking for two. So I applied and I got it. And that was with the County of Los Angeles. And then that went into a permanent job for me. So I worked there. And in the meantime, I had married, and then I got pregnant with my firstborn. So I quit, thinking I'd never have to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But then years later, when my kids were, I had four children, and then first one was in college, then someone told me, there's a welfare office that's looking for some people. Why don't you go apply? And it so happened that this girl I worked with years ago,
mm-hmm.
She was the chief clerk there.
Oh, wow.
And so I talked to her on the phone, and she said, I could just go and take a job. I mean, I get a test, and maybe you can get into our office. So I did, and I got into the office, and it was 3 blocks from my home, from my husband's office. 3 blocks I walked every morning, you know. So I went back, and I worked, put in a total of 22 years with the county. That's going back to the previous time that I had put in 5 or 6 years, and then another 14 years. So I was able to walk and walk home, which was nice.
Right, it's convenient.
Yeah, very convenient. Didn't even have to have a car.
When did you get married?
I got married in 1952.
How old were you at this time?
27. 26, going on 27. My birthday is July. I got married June, so I can always say I got married at 26. Which is kind of old, but then in those days, why, you know. Yeah.
Can we go back to Terminal Island again?
Okay.
Actually, at the time of the war, what happened to all your possessions?
Oh, we had to leave the furnishings. No one could take the furniture, you know. We just took our personal belongings. So we left all the furniture. Just left it. But then I know a lot of the people came on the island just to take advantage of the people because they knew we were leaving. And they were offering, you know, $5 for a piano, you know, $5 for a set of the dining room set. They sure took advantage of us, and people didn't care at that point, so I think they just got what they could out of it. But we couldn't take piano, we couldn't take dining room sets, you know, bed sets, sofas, so we really lost out there.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you were forced to leave behind?
Well, our piano.
That you missed? Right?
Yeah, the furniture was, you know, we knew we couldn't take it. But the personal belongings, we were able to gather up with my mother, you know, her precious things that she had bought from Japan, and what little jewelry she owned, we were able to take those things.
You guys had a piano?
Yeah, we had a piano.
Who played the piano?
My sister and I both took lessons. We were poor, but my mother was able to scrounge up, you know. In those days, nobody was rich. Everybody had to really work hard for what little things they owned. And big families, everybody had big families on that island. But I marvel now that my mother was able to, you know, have us go to Japanese school where we had to pay tuition, extra tuition. And the boys took judo. My older brother did anyway, the other two were too young. But, you know, she was able to scrape up that kind of money. And for the piano lesson, buying kimonos for us to Japan. And, you know, you just marvel what they had to sacrifice in order to do that for us with 6 children. But, so we feel very, you know, very grateful and... Somebody came. An old man came, traveled from house to house to give lessons.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really. You know, I wasn't that smart a girl. Some people could take a couple of lessons and they could... But I wasn't that smart. No. Some people were. They really got ahead. But my mother, I think, wasted her money on me. But anyway... It was right on the island.
Right on the island.
Right on the island. Right by the, I think it was the church must have owned that building. And it was several rooms there, and according to the grade. Why?
Were there a lot of children there?
Yes. Most of the children had to go to school. Mm-hmm. So it was just an accepted thing.
And do you remember if the teachers were from the island as well?
Some were from the island. Some came from San Pedro. They lived across the bay there. In San Pedro, so they had to cross the ferry to get there, but they were good teachers. Mm-hmm. Taught us manners as well, because when class started, we were all standing in a row. We had to bow. Teacher bowed to us. We would bow to the. So we learned manners at the same time. And we had to really buckle down while in class. None of this shoving and fooling around and talking. So we learn mannerism at the same time. Mm-hmm. And respect for elders.
Right. So what was the relationship like for you between, you as a child and adults and elders?
Oh, that's another thing. Kids nowadays, they talk back to you, huh? You can really argue with kids, but in those days we accepted what the parents said. We could never talk back to them. Never. Even if they were wrong and you knew you were right, we couldn't. That's one thing that we grew up with, that we respected our elders that much. But isn't that something? Even if they were wrong, you just had to listen and accept what they say. In a way, it's not good too, but that was the way they raised us, and never to bring shame on the family, never do anything to bring shame to the family, especially in that small town. Ooh.
Do you remember some of the things in the town? Like how far was your home from the cannery?
It was a little ways. But, we didn't have cars, so to us walking was nothing. It was a little ways because that's where the wharf was, and the boats were all, they were all docked there. Uh-huh. So it was a little ways, but to us walking was nothing.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have a chance to go to the canneries?
Oh, yeah, we used to. You couldn't go into the cannery because it's dangerous, all this machinery going and the ladies are all lined up and working. But we could look through the doorway, the big doors, and we could see the ladies all lined up and working. Then you could see the boats when you walk to the wharf there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Would you ever visit your dad's boat?
In fact, yes. People had a funny, fishermen are very superstitious people. They never wanted women on the boat. That was bad luck to them. Mm-hmm. But I remember they took us all to Catalina Island on that boat. But it was a no-no for women to be there. But I think maybe it was when the boat first was built and it was the inauguration, And I remember getting on that boat, but getting sick too, and just being sick. Just, I never liked the boat anyway.
Did you ever go out when your dad went fishing?
Did I ever go out?
Did you ever go out on the boat?
Oh, never. Now when they're fishing, no way. No. No, you couldn't. You'd be in the way.
So I know you mentioned that your dad would be away for long periods of time, like when he went down to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that affected your relationship with him at all?
Well, we just respected him. We weren't close. When he came home, he was either sleeping or he was, we just never really got to talk to him. And our mother our mothers, all the mothers on Terminal Island are the ones that raised the children. So the fathers were held in awe, and they're the ones that were bringing in the, supporting us and bringing in the money. And that's how we accepted them. And anything, but, oh, I remember when we kids were arguing or fighting, and my father raised his voice one bit. Boy, we would just stop. I mean, he would just say, one word he would say, and then that's it. Everybody just, he was like a god. I mean, we couldn't talk back, we couldn't really listen. But that's not a closeness, you know, with your fathers. I think most of the families grew up that way there. The mothers are the one that held the family together, actually.
Do you know if your mother was involved? Like, I remember reading about, there was the Japanese Women's Association on the island.
Japanese women's?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, my mother wasn't. She had too many children.
Right.
We were all young, you know, while we were living there. So I don't remember her ever going out to any kind of a gathering of women. Mm-hmm. In fact, she was a stay-at-home. My mother was a stay-at-home.
She wasn't even involved in life?
No.
I remember there's a PTA.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She sure didn't, you know, with six children like this.
Did she ever learn to speak in English?
You know, my mother did go to English class. And she understood more than she let on, because she would call me, even, you know, after we came out to Long Beach, she would call and say, Aiko, I read in the paper, and she would say, because she was taking the paper.
Oh.
She could read, but she couldn't speak it that good.
Right.
But she can understand English. And she would read the newspaper, and she would call me up and say, it's in the newspaper today or something, you know, so
right.
She could understand. Well, being in America, what, since the age of 17, 18?
Right.
They have to.
Right. Do you know where she took the language classes?
Some evening class someplace. I used to see some, I, when she died, I saw some books that she had used for her, you know, classes. We came across some of those things. It must have been before she had all the kids. She couldn't have possibly gone with all six of us hanging on to her.
Right. Do you remember ever going out into the Cannery Row area where all the shops were, the stores?
Stores? I remember walking around it, but never went into the store. There was a grocery store we used to go into, not to do any shopping because I was young. I mean, I couldn't do shopping, but I remember going in for candy, penny candies.
Uh-huh.
Can you remember penny candies?
Yeah.
Never. Big candies too at penny?
What?
Whoa, if we got 5 cents, we would run over there and have a hard time picking, you know, 5 candies and getting it in a brown bag and running home with it and letting that candy last for days. 5 cents.
Were you given an allowance?
No, never. No. Once in a while we would get a nickel to spend as we wanted, you know, but everything was a nickel. Penny. Ice cream was a nickel. You know, everything. Candies especially. 1 penny. Can you believe that?
Did you guys celebrate American holidays?
No, the only thing is Christmas, but it was at church.
Mm.
You know, because of the church, why we celebrated, but not at home. I don't even remember giving presents and things. We just didn't. The church would give us a box of candy or something. It was these hard candies, you know, or fruits, nuts, I remember. But that was about it. So Christmas was Christmas, but it's not what it's celebrated today with all these presents and everything. You know what I mean?
Did you guys do anything special for birthdays?
Birthdays, you know, that's another thing. We never gave presents. Our mothers never gave us birthday presents. But I remember, I don't know whether David remembers, but in our section where I grew up, my mother would buy soda pop, knee highs. In those days it was knee high, very popular. Strawberries and orange soda. That was about the only thing. They didn't have Cokes and Pepsis and things, but it was in a bottle, glass bottle. And the store would come with these cases of it and little sponge cake. I don't know. It was packaged. And on my birthday, then I was the one that could take it to my neighbor and give it. Nobody brought me anything, but we would give it. I remember taking two of the bottles and a couple of the cakes and knock on the door and give it to them. Tell them, you know, it's my birthday. But nobody gave me anything. And we would just take it to just several neighbors. And that's how we celebrate. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Just the opposite. We never thought of gifts or anything. But I was the one that could take it. And that was a special thing for me. You know, knocking on door to leave the two bottle of soda pop and, and cake.
Do you remember if you were ever sick growing up while you were evaluating?
You know, that's one thing. We didn't go to doctors unless it was accidental cut or falling or something. We never made, you know, like kids nowadays, every 6 months they go for shots and they do this and go for their whatever. I don't remember going. There was only one MD that I can remember, the whole island. And the only time I went, I didn't even go when I had this cut. I have a cut from here to here that I cut myself using a little jackknife or whatever you call these things. From all the way here, never even went for stitching or anything. My mother just poured some Mercure comb on that and just wrapped it up and that's it. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Nowadays with all these infection and everything, what a dangerous thing this was.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember going to the doctor, ever.
Do you remember ever being sick?
I don't remember. In those days, people didn't get sick. I don't know what it is with these kids now. Every month, somebody's, one of my grandchildren, sick. I don't know what it is. There's something in the air, or what is it, you know? Or maybe the food has spraying of some, you know, DVTs or something. I don't know. But we just didn't. I don't remember going. I remember going to the hospital, coming all the way to Long Beach Hospital, Seaside, the old Seaside Hospital for my appendectomy surgery. But that's the only time I remember. I was afraid of doctors. Never went.
How old were you when you had your appendix out?
Must have been about 14. That was way before the war, so must have been about 14. And the shots were given at school, you know, diphtheria shots and what few that they had in those days. They gave it at the school, so we didn't go to any doctor. You know, that is right. Nowadays, a pediatrician and all these specialists that people have to have. But no, doctors didn't make too much money in those days.
So when you had your appendix out, were you sick before that? Did something
with that? Pain? Just a bad tummy ache.
Uh-huh.
And
what made you guys decide to go to the hospital?
The doctor came to check me over.
Uh-huh.
In those days, they made home calls.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, you don't see doctors making home calls, house calls. But he said, no, you got to go to the hospital. So his hospital was, there was no hospital on the island. So he had to come to Long Beach Seaside Hospital, the old Seaside. now it's Memorial, but so that's where. And my father, when he had that accident, he was sent there too, Long Beach.
Do you remember how long you were in the hospital?
I don't remember.
Do you remember ever, like, would you guys go towards the water at all? For fun, for recreation?
What is that?
Like, towards the beach or the...
Oh, we went to the beach. Uh-huh, we always went to, we called it, there was a first beach, second beach, a Brighton beach. And so we would walk quite a distance, you know. But, you know, like I say, we didn't have a car, but we would go in the summertime with our tube, cork floats. We used to put a ring, make a ring up all these cork, and it's salt water. But then you can't really drown in salt water, but we used to walk to the beach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. Not really. No, not swimming. We're just floating with the cork or the tube and just to cool off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Never learned to swim.
Did you do any fishing?
Never. I never went fishing. Mm-hmm. No.
Do you remember having any hobbies, maybe?
I used to knit. And learned to sew on my old mother's old treadle machine, Singer sewing machine. So we had to make our own clothes, you know, when we were still 15, 16. We learned to sew. I think everybody did.
Right.
Make a plain dress, you know.
Mm-hmm. Where did you learn how to sew?
At home. Uh-huh. Of course, at school. The first year in junior high, was it? We had to make an apron. Everybody had to make an apron. Because the second year, we had to learn how to cook a few things. So the apron always came in handy. So we made a few things, I remember. A slip. I remember making a slip, plain slip, and an apron the first year in junior high.
Did you do any clothing shopping at other places?
San Pedro. We had to go to San Pedro to do our shopping.
Right.
Because there was no clothing store. I don't remember. They had a dry goods store, but I don't remember seeing dresses in Terminal Island.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go either to Long Beach, coming to Long Beach, or to San Pedro.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about some of the different things that were on the island, like the pool hall.
Yeah, pool hall.
Those?
Well, you know, girls never went into the pool hall. Never. But I remember passing it.
What did you think of them?
It was just a game, but I think nice people weren't seen in pool halls, you know? Because I think with it, they must have served beer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I never went in one of them. But it was always kind of dark in there, I remember. I used to see men, you know, sitting around. I hear the click of the balls going, but I never went in one.
What about, I remember hearing in another interview someone mentioned that there was some prostitution in areas of the island.
Really? Now that's one thing I didn't know. I didn't know that. Well, in those days we were naive to those things.
Right.
So see, unless they were older or men, I don't know whether any girls ever knew that. That's really something. Well, then they must have been outsiders coming in,
right?
It wasn't any of the Terminal Island girls.
I think someone mentioned that.
Really?
Caucasian women.
Wow, that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Of course, we wouldn't have understood anything what was going on in those days. Nobody talked about those things.
Right.
We were very naive.
So you never had any sex education? conversation?
Never. Nobody ever talked about those things.
So not even your mother?
Never. Wow. You know, it really, the way we were brought up was so different. We didn't even know what all those things meant.
Did your mom ever teach you about, like women and their bodies?
Never. Until we started menstruating, they would never prepare us for something like that. Can you believe that, with three girls in the family?
Yeah,
those things were never discussed. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
How many years ago? 60 years ago, nobody ever spoke about those things.
Not even